Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
So, into the New Year message for 2013. Lucky for us, it's 2013. There's no bad luck here. There's only good things. New Year's message. Would you turn in your Bibles to interestingly, I've forgotten what the actual scripture reference is. I think it's Luke 12. Yes, it is. Verse 32. Thank you, Lord, for your word to us. And we exalt your word over this year as we turn in our Bibles to the living, powerful, life-changing, world-changing word of God. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you've given your word. And we pray, Lord, I pray that I would have grace to preach and that we would have grace to hear what your Spirit is saying over this year. And thank you, Father, for the power of your word to bring and accomplish everything. That you send forth your word over this year and it will come to pass. In the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Verse 32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. That is God's word, God's personal message to us, this little flock, his church. When Jesus speaks about his church, sometimes he calls us sheep. Because we're the kind of sheep who are following Jesus, believing in Jesus. And his sheep hear his voice. And so right now you are hearing his voice. This local flock, this local church, God's word specifically to us is, do not fear. Isn't that great over 2013? Yeah. Already, I think it's a good word, which means it's going to be a good year. Do not fear. And Jesus was speaking to his disciples and a small little band of guys, and they looked like not too much. They probably didn't have the qualifications that the world would say that they needed to actually make any kind of impact in the world. They were in the minority. Followers of Jesus at that time, true disciples of Jesus, were in the minority. And in a sense, you could say it is the same today. True Christians, true followers, not those who just say, I believe in Jesus, but those who really do follow Jesus and are being shaped and discipled by him are the ones actually that are going to turn the world upside down. And Jesus speaks to these guys and says to them, it doesn't matter that you're in the minority. It doesn't matter that there's only a few of you. It doesn't matter that where you work, people don't acknowledge you. It doesn't matter that your family and friends, if they don't know Jesus, don't fear anything. He's saying there's no fear this year. No fear this year. Can I have that slide? Have no fear this year. So God's saying to you right now, have no fear this year. Yeah. What a good word. Have no fear this year. In other words, you are to eliminate fear. You're to see it as something you're not to tolerate in your life. You're not to have it at any moment, whether it's day or night. You're not to worry about your future. You're not to be concerned about your family. You're not to worry about any fiscal cliffs that might be heading our way. Because there's a reason why we're not worrying. And Jesus, in the same verse, gives us the reason why we don't fear. And goes on to say, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. So why do we have no fear this year? Because we have been given the kingdom of heaven. We've been given the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has everything that you need this year. The supply of God's kingdom, which you have. If you're a believer, Jesus says in Luke 17, the kingdom of heaven isn't over there, it isn't over there, but the kingdom of heaven is within you. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he has come to live in you. And you are now the place where his kingdom dwells. Jesus is the king. God is the king of his kingdom. But his kingdom is the king's domain or the king's government or rule. That's what kingdom means. And so you have already been given the kingdom. Which makes us very different to those who do not have the kingdom of heaven. If I didn't have the kingdom of heaven, I would have a lot to be scared about. The world system is going down. It is going to fail. Satan is the ruler of this age, the earthly kingdoms. He doesn't rule the kingdom of God, only God and us, we have the kingdom. But the world is under the sway, the scripture says, of the devil, under the influence of the devil. But we, our Father, those who believe in Jesus, are to have absolutely no fear because the kingdom has been given to us, which gives us more than enough for every need that we might have all the way through every day, every month, every moment of this year. And so this is the good news. If you look in Mark's gospel, you see that Jesus connected the kingdom with it being good news. This is a good news year. Amen. It's a good news year. There's only good news from God for you. Jesus says in Mark chapter 1, when he came to bring the kingdom of heaven, he said, verse 15, the time has come, he said, the kingdom of God is near. Now, why was the kingdom of God near? It was because Jesus was there. If you have Jesus, you have the kingdom. Jesus had the kingdom. You understand? And he said, wherever I go, the kingdom of God's coming near you. And actually, it's true that any believer, wherever you go, the kingdom of God is available for everybody else around you. Because you're carriers of the kingdom of heaven. Because you have Jesus, it means you have the kingdom. And wherever you go, the kingdom of God will come. Because it goes where you go. It goes to work with you. It goes home with you. The kingdom of heaven is always available to every single believer. He said, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Jesus said, I haven't come to kind of talk about the state of the world. I haven't come to kind of analyze the economics that are going on in America and the new world powers and China. I haven't come to discuss politics. I've come to bring the kingdom. Because the kingdom is the solution for the earth. In fact, didn't Jesus teach us to pray, thy kingdom come? So in other words, pray that the kingdom will come, because if the kingdom comes, the nation will get sorted. Because everything is that is needed for everyone, wisdom, power, freedom, healing, everything is in the kingdom. And Jesus demonstrated what the kingdom was like wherever he went. The leper came to Jesus. And this king is a compassionate king. Because it says Jesus was moved with compassion towards this outsider, this man who was diseased and broken by disease. And he had compassion on him. And he said, I am willing to heal you. And he cleansed this leper, which was a sign of the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven equals signs and wonders. It equals healing. Jesus actually changed the economy for fishermen. Because the kingdom of heaven, there's plenty in the kingdom of heaven. And when we listen to the king and get his word to launch out into the deep for a catch, as those fishermen did, when there were no fish, God created fish, and they had a bumper economy time. Because the kingdom of heaven doesn't lack anything. In fact, the kingdom of heaven is to provide for all God's people. The world is not our provider, but the kingdom of heaven is our provider. So Jesus says, you're going to have to change the way you think, guys. You're going to have to believe in me, because Jesus is the door into the kingdom. He's the way, the truth, and the life. But once you're in, when you're in the kingdom and the kingdom comes into you, you then can operate out of the ongoing plenty, abundance of everything that you need and everything the world needs, because you have the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus doesn't see this little flock as a little flock without help. He sees that all the resources they'll need in 2013 are already in the kingdom. Amen. And the kingdom of God has already been given to this little flock. So we have no need to fear. Even if the whole world system totally collapses, which some people are predicting, that there won't be any money, there won't be any resources up ahead, because the world system has the devil behind it, who's only come to steal, kill, and destroy. But our king has come to give life, and life in all its fullness. So no shortages. There are no shortages in 2013. Do not fear, little flock. What a great word from God. I'm taking it full on. Because he's telling me too. It's not just you, it's me. And I'm taking it personal. Do not fear, little one, because your father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. I'm happy. I've got the kingdom. And that the kingdom has come. Jesus fed the 5,000 as a sign of the kingdom. He took the 5 loaves and fishes, 2 fish, and he broke bread, gave thanks, and he said, disciples, go on, get giving. Get giving. Hand this out. And what was happening? The world was fed as a sign of the kingdom. So in other words, you only need a little bit and it'll go an awful long way. It'll multiply this year. Amen. In the kingdom. The kingdom has a supernatural increase to it. It has power to increase. It's got the power to continue to grow and increase. So Jesus doesn't want us afraid, because fear attacks faith. It actually erodes every good thing that God has given you. Because if there's any fear in your life, it will be counterproductive to you living in the abundance of the kingdom. So that's why it wasn't just a suggestion. I see the do-nots of Jesus as a do-not. I don't see it as a, well, I could possibly not really listen to that. I see that God has put me into a position where I need to understand the do nots. Because I know the do nots will do me good. Tell your neighbor, the do nots will do me good. Do not fear. Do not fear this year. Say that again to your neighbor. Sometimes I think we hear this message and just go back to the way we've always lived. Some of us need to make some changes in our life to stop fearing. Repent, in other words, change. Change your mind and your heart and stop being afraid. Stop being afraid of people. Stop being afraid of circumstances. Stop being afraid of what the devil can do. We have nothing to fear because God has given us the kingdom. Don't fear your kids going off the rail. You've got nothing to fear with your family. Don't fear what's going to happen in your marriage. God has given you the kingdom, and the kingdom is the answer for everything. Do not fear, little flock, for your Father has been pleased. I love to hear that. Our Father has been pleased. It's been His pleasure. It's His joy. You know, what earthly father, over Christmas, for example, doesn't want to give their kids nice stuff? It's a pleasure to give gifts, isn't it, to your kids? God has loved giving us the kingdom. He says, there you are, you receive Jesus, have the kingdom, that means you've got everything. All I've got, I'm going to give you, because I want you to succeed in this world. God wants you to win this year. He wants you to win. Do not fear, you have the kingdom of heaven. Scripture, the Bible teaches actually, and we need to understand who's our Father. Because the Bible teaches that biblically there are two fathers, and only two. And that means spiritual fathers. I don't mean your earthly father. I mean spiritual fathers. And we all started with the bad one. We started belonging to the devil. When Jesus was talking to people that were not yet saved, people who hadn't accepted Him, trusted Him, and were following Him, He spoke to them and He said, you're of the father, the devil. You don't hear my words because you belong to Satan. Now, they're pretty harsh words. And I remember hearing them 6 months before I got saved. And quite honestly, it was the boot up that encouraged me to say, maybe I need to change if I belong to the devil. Because I don't want to belong to Satan. It got into my head that actually Satan was a bad father. And I understood that Satan was a bad father. I understood enough that Satan was bad. And I even understood that God was good. I didn't know how good. I'm only still learning. He creates stomachs in babies. He sets captives free. That He changes people who are mourning into dancing. That He alters everything. That He only does good. So, I mean, I'm only just tipping in to the reality of how good God really is. But we all started with a bad father. And Jesus said that your father, not currently, if you're belonging to Jesus, if you don't, you can belong to Him today. You can come out of belonging to Satan. But you can come and belong to Jesus today. But that father, Jesus said, is a liar. He's a liar. He lies about God. He lies about how valuable you are. He always diminishes people. Have you ever heard the devil say to you, you're no good. You don't match up. You're not forgiven. You're unloved. He's bad. He lies. The devil lies all the time. He's the father of all lies, which is why we don't lie. Do we, church? Because if we lie, even the white ones, I don't know what theology that is. You know, you're telling a lie, or what little white lie. What's a white lie? It's as black as can be. Because it's for only freedom in truth. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But the devil lies to people. He breaks up relationships. He breaks up churches through lies. Criticism, saying, do you know what they really said, what they really think? He breaks up friendships and marriages because somebody starts believing a lie. Jesus said, Satan is a liar. He's a murderer. In other words, he is out to kill. And he still is in this age. He is out to kill. But we don't have to fear because our Father has given us the kingdom. So Satan used to be our father, but now God is our father. The moment we believed in Jesus, we changed fathers. How do you know you've changed your father if you're a Christian? Are you glad? You've got a good father. In fact, as Pastor Andrew's already said, can I have the next slide? Psalm 119 verse 68 says, you are good. And what you do is good. Go on, say it. Now, we did this on Thursday night, and they were better at it. Because they really said it, like, with a conviction. Rather than just repeating it. And I know sometimes we just say things because we're told. But how about making a declaration to your father about what you believe about him 5 times? Go on. Fast.
You are good, and what you do is good. You are good, and what you do is good. You are good, and what you do is good. You are good, and what you do is good.
We could have a personal revival on that scripture. Because if we're still believing that our father is bad, whether it's our earthly father experience, or whether it's a father figure experience, or whether it's actually our wrong concept of God. Because there's a whole wrong theology that has been taught the church through the ages and is still being taught today, that God sends bad to test people. People get sick because God wants to teach them something. It's a load of baloney. It's a lie. There is no truth that God would ever send sickness into somebody's life to teach them. He would never send bondage into somebody's life to teach you. Every good and perfect gift comes from your Father. There is no variation. There's no shadow of turning with Him. You are good. And all that you do is good. You are good, and all that you do is good. Our Father is good, and all that He's going to do this year is good. So it's going to be a good year. Amen. It's going to be a good year. And we need to repent sometimes of our old thinking, stinking thinking, that stops us believing. And you know what? God is good, even if we messed up. I'll tell you a little story over Christmas. I don't know how many messages are going to be about this dog called Reg. But Pastor Andrew and David have got a puppy and he's gorgeous. And I never really was that interested in dogs because I never saw such a gorgeous one. So I love their dog. And he came to visit and he's become quite adventurous. He's this little white Westie. And he really looks quite butch, which is good for David. I think he's really happy that he's definitely a boy. Reg definitely looks, whoa. When he barks, it's, whoa. It isn't really it. But he likes to follow, you know. And, my loo is at the top of my stairs at home. So I decided I needed a break. And off I went. And Reg comes behind. You know how the paws go right up and he can climb up. But I came down saying, oh, how nice to see you. He sat outside the door. So I came back down the stairs and he stood at the top like. I said, come on, you got up there, get back down. You know, you put yourself in that. Sort it. Because that can be our theology. That we think because we got ourselves in a pickle, we've got to get ourselves out. How many of you know Jesus said the Holy Spirit is your helper? And he will help you out of even the stuff you got yourself in. You are good, and everything you do is good. So I realized, I mean, once I saw this little whimpering thing moving my heartstrings, sometimes it's like us, you know, God, I know I messed up, but I'm in a mess. I ran straight up the stairs. It's all right, darling, come here. Oh, take him down. Took him down. There we are. Do you want a treat? And sometimes our vision of God is so wrong that he's into recovery business. Even if you messed up this year, say sorry, but come and help, Lord. Because he is good, and everything he does is good. We don't get everything right, but he does. If you failed last year in any particular area, say sorry, and we're into a new year of God helping us. If you're in financial trouble, God will help you out. Listen to his voice. If your marriage is in difficulty, listen, and God will get you out. He will, not out of marriage. God will get you out of trouble and into a blessed marriage. Because the kingdom of heaven, that's the true theology. The kingdom of heaven is about succeeding in every dimension of life. Relationally, financially, at work, every area, God's kingdom is available to bring about solutions. Our Father is good and everything he does is good. Let's look at Colossians. What a great scripture for the year. Do not fear, little flock, because your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. It's his pleasure. You're a person of value if you've got the kingdom. You've got what it takes. Baby. Some of us don't believe it. We think we haven't. But we've got the Holy Spirit and the kingdom. I mean, we've got what it takes. We've got what it takes this year. We've got a winning year ahead. It's going to be a good year. It really is. I am fully persuaded by the word. My circumstances may not be fully conforming to the word, but they will. Because this kingdom rules over all. It actually is the winning kingdom. So if I live out life as a kingdom person, there is a dynamic of God in my life that brings success. Verse 12 of chapter 1 says, so remember, we've changed fathers. We used to have a bad father, now we've got a good father. And verse 12, it talks about giving thanks. And I think, you know, even from hearing that God has given us the kingdom, I'm thankful. We need to give thanks for what God has given us. But here, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This, in a nutshell, tells us that we were once under the dominion of Satan, in the dominion of darkness, under the rule, the domain, that bad king's rule. And what we once were under, through faith in Jesus, we're qualified through faith. Just putting our faith in Jesus qualifies us, first of all, for forgiveness of sins. Thank you, Lord. We're not under condemnation. We're not under judgment. We're under grace. God giving us everything we didn't earn or deserve in Jesus. And so God has qualified us because of our faith, just simply putting our faith in Jesus Christ. He has qualified us. We're out of Satan's control. Just say, I'm out from Satan's control. He is no longer my father. He's not my father anymore. I got a new father, and he is good. And he has qualified me to share. Do you want your share this year in the inheritance of the saints? We're the saints, we're the little flock, we're the church. We have the kingdom, all of us. And that means we have an inheritance. Amen. Now, our inheritance comes from God and his kingdom. And it's speaking about the kingdom of heaven being our inheritance. Some people are just sort of misunderstanding that actually we need to understand the kingdom and how it works to get our inheritance. If somebody dies and they leave an inheritance for their children or to somebody, then that inheritance will come to you in a certain way. You have to sort of go and sign some solicitor's forms, and you have to prove your identity. And then you come into that wealth and that provision. But God says you've already come into the wealth and already come into his provision through the kingdom. You already have your inheritance. And it's a rich inheritance. And it's not able to be destroyed. And it's not subject to how the world around you is going. And so our Father has qualified us to be inheritors of the kingdom. So you qualify simply through faith. You have been taken out of darkness. See, this world system is broke. 2013, I don't want to prophesy because God wants to do the world good, but it's through a kingdom people bringing his kingdom. But the world system is actually going broke. The Titanic, it will sink. People think because there's a big kind of organization, a nation, it's actually set up to fail. Because it's based on sin and Satan. The kingdom of heaven is based on his righteousness and his kingdom that actually works for everything that God's people need. And actually everything that the world needs. Because we have the kingdom, we can supply the needs of the whole world. You can supply the needs of the people at work this year because you have the kingdom. Your family can get supernatural supply because you release the kingdom. Your workplace will change. They'll see the way that you do life is because you're hearing God. And there will be a supernatural bumper crop for kingdom-minded people. The kingdom is not broke. It doesn't lack anything. All we need is provided. And it will work for you this year. See, sometimes I think we've misunderstood the value of the kingdom and how to work the kingdom. And I'm believing, and we as a leadership, God has spoken to us clearly this year that we are to teach you the ways of the kingdom so that you will know how to work God's kingdom and see a supply that you've never seen opened up before. This year is going to be all about the kingdom. Because God has already given you the kingdom, we need to unpack, use our inheritance and enjoy it, and begin to see the world come into the kingdom, or the kingdom come into the world. It's a year of great advance this year. We understand about the power of the kingdom, the authority of the kingdom. The way the kingdom works with finances, the way God's system works financially, it's so opposite to the world. And if you'll come into God's way of finances, kingdom finances, you will see a never-ending supply all the way through to glory. Because it's not a short-term thinking. God thinks eternally with kingdom. Because the kingdom is actually eternal. If you just turn to the book of Daniel, and I'm going to finish in a minute. We're going to pray. Isn't it a good word? For 2013. No fear this year. Go on, say it. I have the kingdom. I've been taken out of the control of Satan. God is my Father. He is good. And everything he'll do this year is good. And he'll give me understanding of the kingdom. So that I can live out of the abundance. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. There's no fear here. No fear here. We're not going to worry. Because we have what it takes. Thank you, Lord. Now, Daniel saw or foresaw, because this is hundreds of years, thousands of years ago. Daniel foresaw what you and I today have. So this is a prophecy about what we now have. And what I'm not going to read the whole chapter because it's very long and you'll want to go and get your lunch. You'll be saying the preacher's going on way too long this morning. But if you read it yourself, you'll find out that Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon, which is really, often when God speaks about Babylon, he's speaking about a world system. And Nebuchadnezzar was one of the greatest world powers that have ever been known. And he dominated and ruled, actually, not in a kind way. And Daniel and his friends were Jews, they were God's people, and they'd been taken captive and brought into the king's reign. And they were trained up, and they were found to be absolutely the best young men that were going out of all the people that were brought into the king's house. And Daniel was the best because he was actually someone who knew God. He was someone who always prayed. He was a man who always prayed. He was a kingdom man, actually. And he was a man who set his life apart for God. So he lived set apart for God in the world system. He was a different person. You could say he was the little flock. Him and his few friends were tiny minority. And yet God changed and spoke to the whole world through this little flock. As he will with us. And the king actually had a dream that was given by God. And he told all the wise men and the sorcerers, because in that day, they used to realize that there were spirit powers behind everything that happened. In our culture, we don't think there are demons at work, but there are demons at work. The God of this age is at work all the way around every person that doesn't belong to Jesus. Satan is at work, and he's also trying to work against the church. He's trying to come against you and your family. That's why we need to understand kingdom authority. And this king had a dream. And God actually gave the king, the world, this dream. And I think this is interesting. Because I believe God wants the world to know the secret of the kingdom. Not just the church. And Daniel and his friends and the sorcerers were all asked to give the interpretation without being told the dream. So the king says, I want you to tell me what I dreamt, and I want you to tell me the interpretation. That's quite a tall order. Because most of us will be able to say, what's the dream? And I'll kind of work out what it means. But Nebuchadnezzar says, I'm not even going to tell you what the dream is. And I want you to come up with the dream and with the answers. And if you don't come up with the answer, your neck is for the block. All of you will die. So we're talking about a bad king. No results, dead. And so Daniel asked for time, as probably you and I would, if we thought tomorrow we were going to get a head chopped off. And he said, give me time. I'm going to seek the God of heaven, because with him is this, the secrets are revealed. And he's the one who knows all things. So me and my mates, my friends, are going to get praying. Oh, kingdom people pray. It's going to be a year of power in prayer. We're going to see prayer change everything. The things we don't understand, God's going to give us wisdom and understanding on. So they began to seek God and pray together. And God gave the revelation of the mystery of the dream in the night. And he goes to the king and says, it's okay, I've got it. There's a God in heaven who reveals secrets. He knows all things, and I'm going to tell you what he gave me to do. Daniel didn't sort of say, I'm gifted, I'm talented, I'm awesome, I'm the best. Daniel was a humble man. He worked in humility. So he said, God has done this. He's shown me what it is, and I will tell you what it is. And this is what verse 31 of Daniel chapter 2 says. This is the dream, and then will come the interpretation. You looked, O king, and before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and its arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, and its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron and the clay and the bronze and the silver and gold were broken to pieces and at the same time and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace. That's the devil. Gone. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream, and now we will interpret it to the king. You, O king, are the king of kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. Into your hands he has placed mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air, wherever they live, and all that he has made, you ruler over them all. You are that head of gold. So he was saying, Nebuchadnezzar, this system, this Babylonian system, is kind of like the top system, the strongest system, the head of gold. And he said, after you, another kingdom will rise inferior to yours. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. And just as you saw, the feet and toes were partly of baked clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom. Yet it will have some of the strength of iron in it, even as you saw iron mixed with clay. And as the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and not remain united any more than the iron mixes with clay. Right, let's just see this. The Babylonian system was first. It was the head of gold. Silver next was the Medes and Persians. There was law, the whole rule of law came in through the Medes and the Persians. Then was the Greek Empire that was raised up, that was eventually defeated by the Roman Empire, which at that time of the Roman Empire, Jesus came to bring the kingdom. So this is talking about all the other governments and rules that were very powerful in the world, raised up over many years and generations until the time when Jesus came. So let's look at what Daniel says about the kingdom of God coming. It says, verse 44, in that time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to other people. It will crush all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, not by human hands. A rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. Jesus came, and he was the stone or the rock not made with human hands. The Word, the living Word, God became flesh. And he came to bring the kingdom. And he was the stone that on the cross he smashed, crushed, defeated all the powers, principalities, all the darkness and Satan. And he made a public spectacle of Satan through the cross. He won such an awesome victory. He smashed and destroyed the devil. And at that time, when Jesus was on earth, he was calling people to follow him, to believe in him. And all those who believed in him, he says, you're going to have the kingdom. And for us today, he says, you've got the kingdom. What is this kingdom? It cannot be destroyed. God has set up this kingdom to defeat all other kingdoms. All other kingdoms will be eliminated and come actually to destruction. But God's kingdom will never be destroyed. And this kingdom will fill all the earth. Not heaven. Church, guess what? The kingdom's going to come to the whole earth. All the earth will be filled with what we've got. And we will see this kingdom defeat the devil this year. We will see this kingdom supply. When the enemy says, I'm shutting off your supply, God has given you a supply that will never close down. When you think you can't, God says you can. Because this kingdom is far superior. Is actually above all. It's the best because the God of heaven set it up. And we are this mountain that's ever growing. The Church of Jesus Christ in the nations is forever growing. And we're going to fill Taunton. We're going to fill the Southwest. This kingdom is going to advance this year, and it will defeat the devil. It will smash on the head the systems that the Satan has brought up. He will be destroyed. Sickness will be defeated. Poverty will be defeated. Bondage will be defeated. Addictions will be defeated. This kingdom is all powerful, and the God of heaven has given us this kingdom. So Daniel saw what little old you's got. Aren't we blessed? Jesus said to his disciples, blessed are you who see these things. The prophets have longed to have what you got. Ezekiel wanted it, but he was looking forward to it. Even John the Baptist was looking forward to it. He didn't have what we've got because we're born again. We have been given the kingdom. So you're indefeatable, you're indestructible as you listen and understand and walk in the ways of the kingdom of heaven. And so when Jesus, we'll go back to the beginning, said, do not fear, little flock, because your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Kind of puts a different slant on this year, doesn't it? It puts us into a winning mindset. Hello? Does it put you into a winning mindset? What God's given you can't be defeated. We'll win, we'll destroy the devil, and we'll grow an increase this year. There's going to be amazing increase through your life this year. The kingdom will come, and the will of God will be done this year. It shall be. Because our Father has been pleased to give us the kingdom. And you don't need to worry about your provision, your money, You don't have to worry. Jesus says, don't worry about what you're going to eat, drink, wear. Don't worry about anything. You have what you need, but he's going to give you the understanding. As we go through this year, we're going to get more and more understanding about the kingdom. Jesus taught continually about the kingdom. When he rose again, he actually spoke about the kingdom for 40 days before he ascended. I kind of think it's a message on God's heart for this year. About how to win this year through the ways of the kingdom. Preceding this verse, do not fear, little flock, Jesus said, seek first my kingdom. Aim for my kingdom. Seek. Make the kingdom of heaven your priority. Make God's way of life your goal. Don't seek the things of this earth. Don't let your focus always be on your little thing. How many of you know we can get really small-minded at times? And just be praying about me, my money, oh, I'd like a new car, oh, my house needs painting, oh, my toes, painful, pray for me. God wants all those things met. But those who seek first get God adding things. Not working for. Hello? Provision flows with kingdom-focused individuals and people. Now, I know you know this, but I think we need to repent. Make some changes if we're really going to be focused on the kingdom. I know we can hear these messages and go, brilliant, what a great word. But God says to us, you know, I've given you the kingdom. You've got nothing to fear. As long as you make my kingdom your priority, provision is going to flow in your life. You understand that there is a God's part that he's done, but our part has to be, Lord, I'm going to seek your kingdom and your righteousness, your way of doing life. I'm going to put what you want first. If you want me to pray, I'm going to put it first. Which of course he does. If you want me to be trained and equipped through, I mean, this is a training session. This is to train you to live in the kingdom where you go. Come for training. Sundays, whatever we do. Be part of God's corporate life. We're a family. God speaks to families, to the church. And as you seek first, not your holidays, your time off, even your family, we know God ordained families. But kingdom is above. If you put the kingdom first, it's amazing the miracles at work in your life. I've spent nearly 20 years of my life following Jesus and putting the kingdom first. I can't honestly. I would take years and years to tell you how much has been added. God has just, how did that happen? How did that happen? It's because you're following me, Jesus says. It's because you're putting me first. It's amazing the provision that will flow because the kingdom comes. God is our source. He's our provider. Put him first. It's like a free fall from heaven. Continual flow of provision. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.